Chapter 2. Understanding the Market. The Story: Winning the Real Estate Lottery. It happened so quickly that we were both caught completely off guard. My wife and I weren't prepared for another investment, but how could we not when the business of real estate investing hands you a deal as good as a winning lottery ticket? The prices of lower-end properties had not only started to take off, they were on fire. Investors were lurking in every bush, and all houses put on the market sold instantly, especially cheaper ones that could be flipped or rented. For us, the huge inflation in property prices felt pretty good as we had just been on a bit of a house shopping spree during the years prior. We owned 6 houses in Florida at the time, and the plan was to lie low for a while, but we still did what we had always done. Woke up, had our morning coffee, and ate breakfast while browsing the internet for potential deals. Deals that seemed to get more and more scarce. My wife would make us smoothies and we would sit and discuss what we came across while doing our searches. Discussions that would get shorter and shorter as we found less and less potential deals to talk about. Prices seemed to go up a little every day and, after a while, we ended up just staring at our computer screens with our eyes wide open and our chins halfway down to the floor. Can you believe they paid that much for that property? And look at this one, and that one. That will never sell. But it did. It just did. That's crazy. My mind could barely comprehend how fast it all went. I'd figured the prices should start going up a little at some point, but not like this. The prices had been good and there had been plenty of inventory to bid on, but no more. No more buyer's market. No more simple and profitable deals for me and my wife. Or at least so we thought. Until our attorney, Bob, called. He knew we had been out looking for houses, so when a lady came to his office letting him know she wanted to sell a property she had inherited, he thought of us. According to the attorney, it was a half-house, half-mobile home in a pretty good location, and she wanted to get rid of it. It would make a good rental, but it would require a bit of work. Since we liked the idea of buying something that wasn't on the market, thinking it might save us from the crazy bidding wars that were going on out there, we figured we'd look into it. We did some research online before jumping in our car to go see this half-house, half-trailer. The drive there was short, but provided us enough time to talk about what we would be willing to offer. We knew the location was good, and we knew the property would rent well, but we needed to keep a buffer aside for fixing it up. Our hope was to be able to buy before other investors found out about the place, and we therefore wanted to be able to present a decent offer that would seal the deal right away if we decided to jump on it. In the slow market we experienced after the last crash and the approximately 7 years that followed, $20,000 would have been a good price. But we were no longer in that kind of market. Not even close. According to what we had seen online, prices for most cheap properties had doubled. We would have to pay more. Probably close to $30,000 if we wanted to have a chance of getting it. $30,000 would still be a good deal. If we could get it for that or less, we would probably be able to make some good money. The lady who owned the property came out to greet us. She showed us around and we found the house to be in a bit better shape than our attorney had led us to believe. The tour ended on the porch, where we started talking about what she was hoping to get and when she thought she would be wanting to move out. She looked at us with despair and said, "The neighbor has offered $12,000, and I would sell it for that, but I don't really like him." "What?" I said, "The neighbor has offered $12,000, and it's enough for me to sell. I'm just not very happy about selling it to him. I don't like him much. My parents left this for me, and my sisters say I should condemn the place. I guess it isn't worth much." "Well, we think it's worth something. Would you be happy with $15,000 from us instead?" "Okay." She ended up being pretty happy about the extra money we offered, and we closed on the property a week later. The closing took place at our attorney's office, and we were just going to leave after signing all the paperwork when she asked if we would consider renting the property back to her. Turns out, she wanted to stay right where she was. She just didn't like the responsibilities of owning. I told her we had to think about it, but we eventually let her stay there for a very discounted rent. When we got home and looked at what we had accomplished, we couldn't stop smiling. Even though we paid more for the property than she was prepared to sell it for, we walked away as owners of the place for a third of its current market value. All thanks to us being up to date on the current market conditions while our seller wasn't. The prices in the area kept going up, and as of writing this, similar properties on the same street sell for $60,000. The story in numbers. Rent per month equaled $450. Discounted for the previous owner, market rent is around $625. Minus vacancy loss equaled $0. The previous owner has stayed in the house since we bought it. Total income equals $450 per month. Monthly expenses, cost of owning the house. Taxes equal $20. Repairs and maintenance equal $100. We have had to do a few repairs. Management fee equaled $0. We manage the property ourselves. Loan payments equaled $0. We paid cash. Total expenses equal $120 per month. The house creates a monthly profit of $450 minus $120, equaling $330, which equals a yearly profit of $3,960. The cash-on-cash return is calculated by taking the annual cash flow, rental income minus expenses, and dividing that with the sales price. In this case, $3,960 divided by $15,000, equaling 0.264 or 26.4%. The facts. You can always buy a house, but the real estate market is ever-changing, and you will do better deals if you understand it and adapt to its fluctuations. The most simple way to anticipate the future of the market is to look at its previous behavior. If you were to draw a line of how the real estate market has moved in the past, it would be a line that increases slowly, then peaks before either stopping to increase or falling down. Then it starts over again by increasing slowly into a peak, and then it comes to another stop or fall. Then it goes again, and again. It's like waves on an ocean, but with one very crucial difference. Every peak tends to go a little higher than the last. The only thing that stays consistent is that, given enough time, prices go up. According to a chart from Federal Reserve Economic Research, the median price for a home in America went from $20,200 in 1965 to a whopping $330,000 in 2018. Not bad, but an increase in prices isn't always a given. The market can also go down, and it can do so pretty quickly and drastically. These drops have always been temporary, but they are a factor to consider. The only way to harvest real long-term appreciation is by learning to deal with those downturns. I consider the real estate market to have four different stages. A slow market, which is represented by a straight line, no change of house prices, or possibly a slight positive increase. There is a hot market, which is represented by a steep increase in prices and a market headed towards another peak. The peak market is when we hit the top before it levels off and becomes a down market, where prices tend to stagnate or fall. The best time to buy real estate is at the end of a down market, and the best time to sell is during a peak market. Sadly, that isn't as easy as it sounds, and being set on accomplishing that will leave you with nothing, as it is impossible to know exactly when the next decline is coming, or to know exactly when the market is at its highest point. What I recommend is that you always try to figure out approximately where the market is and approach your deals in a way that suits that market. If you find yourself getting scared of doing deals because you can't figure out what market you are in, remember this. The cash flow makes it profitable for you to own a property. The property you buy will hopefully put money in your pocket every month. Because you are making money owning the property, you won't be put in a position where you have to sell it. The power of cash flow helps you avoid selling real estate during times when the market has gone down. In theory, you can eliminate all risk of losing money as a deal is never done until you sell. If the market takes a turn for the worse and your house is worth less than what you bought it for, just hold it for a few more years until the market is back up again. It doesn't hurt you since you are making money owning it anyway. Finding houses in a strong market. When markets are heading up or peaking, there will be multiple offers on most properties and they will usually sell over asking price. The hype and the competition between buyers makes it hard to buy houses. If multiple people bid on the same property as you, you have a very weak position in negotiations. Without leverage in negotiation and several competitors trying to buy the same place, you end up having to pay top dollar for the property. Paying top dollar for properties will make your real estate venture less profitable. If you find yourself in a market that is heading up or peaking, avoid getting into bidding wars. Try instead to find private sellers. If you can't find any, look for abandoned properties or houses that are in bad shape. This usually indicates people who might be willing to sell. Find out by mailing the owners. You can find their contact information on the county homepage or by asking neighbors. This strategy is called direct mail. By finding private sellers who haven't published their properties on public listings or through realtors, you stand a better chance of avoiding competing buyers, which will give you a better position when negotiating the price. You increase your odds of buying properties under market value. When the market is hot, there is a lot of competition, but some deals might still be good, just a little harder to find. Even though you might be searching for off-market deals, keep an eye on the listings that come out. Doing this also gives you a good reference point in terms of property prices in the area you are looking. Another thing to keep in mind that can work both for and against you is the availability of money. Banks tend to lend more money when the real estate market has been doing well for a while. If you can secure a loan that you otherwise wouldn't get, you might be fine overpaying a little for a property. If you have cash or other forms of financing and you don't need a bank, you will be able to buy a little cheaper if you look for houses that don't qualify for traditional financing. A common issue that makes it hard to finance a house is a need for repairs. These types of properties tend to sell a lot cheaper because there are fewer buyers who are able to purchase houses without bank financing. Buying a property like this and getting those repairs done will often create immediate equity. Equity is the difference between what a property is worth and how much money you have invested in it. A plumbing leak, cracked windows, or a crawl space full of debris would be good examples of the types of defects that would cause a house to not qualify for financing. How to buy a house in a down market. During times of slow markets, listed properties sit on the market for a long time. There won't be many people interested in buying, and most properties sell for less than the asking price. A market like this will serve you a vast number of good deals that you can pick up at discounted prices. Since there are fewer buyers and a lot of sellers, bargains are more of a rule than an exception. Sounds like heaven for a buyer, doesn't it? But there is a catch. Despite everything we know about the real estate market, the fear of going against the grain is more than most people can handle. We all know that the real estate market keeps going up over time, despite some pretty rough downturns. Weirdly, however, those same downturns still scare the majority of investors away. The down markets create a great fear of investing in real estate. The media is all doom and gloom, banks get super defensive, and the general public freeze. Having the guts to actually go out and buy when everybody else is running away can make you massive amounts of money. But it's scary and much easier said than done. There have been multiple downturns, and every time it happens, it scares most investors out of the market. Mostly because they get too hurt by losing money, even though it's only for a little while before the prices go up again. With a bruised ego, they also tend to forget how much money they made when the market was doing well and heading up. Action items. If there is an up market, try to find properties that aren't listed by realtors. If you find off-market deals, like a for sale by owner sign in a yard, you might be able to negotiate directly with the owners and avoid bidding wars against other buyers. If there is a bad real estate market and you are preparing to buy, the easiest way to gain confidence is to look at the past and remember that, over time, an increase in house prices has always been the rule. When everybody around you is upset with their house prices declining, make them offers. Buy those houses from them. You will get them for cheap, because most other investors will actually start hating their properties if they start declining in value. Learn to handle the fear, and remember that the more others are complaining, the better the deals will be.